This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to the program. We would like to invite our esteemed producer and left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, Christian Darris Dameron, onto the program. Darris, how are you, first of all? Happy New Year to you, sir.
Hello, Darris.
Yes, gentlemen, Happy New Year. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So the thing we wanted to do is play a little buy or sell. We're doing some stock. So if you don't know, the way this works is if a stock is overvalued, if it's overhyped, you go, you know what? I probably want to sell that because I don't think it's going to get much better. If a stock is undervalued, you want to buy it because the value is going to go up, right? Everybody with me on that?
For sure.
So if you think there's more in the tank, you're buying. If you don't, you're probably selling. Maybe cut your losses, et cetera. That's how we play the game. We'll alternate who goes first and why. Darris has a list of young players here that we're going to buy and sell stock in. Darris, player of the first, please.
Let's start with the first round pick of the 2025 Washington Commanders draft class. That would be right tackle Josh Connerly. Buy or stock. Buy or sell.
Yeah, I am buying stock of Josh Connerly because it's not very expensive right now. Jay Gruden came on our show, as he does every Monday after Washington plays foosball, and basically, it wasn't being cruel or anything, but said in his evaluation, Connerly's not been particularly good this year and, you know, wasn't very bullish maybe on his outlook as a player and said, you know, he's among the worst right tackles in football at this point, et cetera, et cetera. They've been patient, and David Aldridge kind of addressed this early on. Out of the gate, he had a set of assignments, as you're going to have in this league, for a veteran right tackle, let alone a neophyte that's just learning the position. There's too much there for me not to think, how many negatives did I use right there? There's too much skill, too much athleticism, too much raw mold of clay for me not to think that guy's going to be really good one day. I don't think he is yet. I think he has gone through growing pains. I think he's been up and down. There's some false starts. There's some holds here and there. I think that happens. That's part of the position. When you're on an island, some of the best pass rushers happen to be on that side now. That's kind of the trend. But I'm buying stock that Josh Connerly is a good right tackle. Maybe not a star, but a good right tackle in the future. I'm buying.
I'm buying stock in that as well, for all the reasons that you just mentioned. I think the biggest thing that he's got to work on this offseason, get a little heavier in the britches so he can anchor versus power rushers. My big question with him is how long is he a right tackle? Are they just going to uproot him in the middle of his career when Laramie Tunsil hangs it up and go, hey, buddy, you're now the left tackle. We expect you to transition there flawlessly. If they expect him to do that, I think he'll struggle initially on the left side, just like he struggled initially on the right side. But overall, to your point, 100% buying stock.
Let's start with, let's keep it on the offensive side, actually. Let's go with tight end Ben Sinnott, buy or sell.
This one's tough. You
it's
listed
a
him as
a stock either way.
Yeah, you listed him as a tight end. I think he's a fullback. For that reason, I'm going to sell stock in Ben Sinnott. It's tough because I think when he was drafted, there were these high expectations that he was going to be the pass-catching tight end of the future for this organization. He's just not that. I think he'll have a long career. I think he's a tough football player. I love him as a, quote, move blocker. Their calculation at the position, though, doesn't make a whole lot of sense because maybe people are going to say I'm over-exaggerating, but I watch, so just trust my opinion, right? He's just as good of a blocker, in my opinion. Maybe not exactly the same, but as John Bates. I think there's something there with him as a blocker, yet they brought back John Bates and Zach Ertz. I didn't understand that move this offseason, but kind of selling my stock in Ben Sinnott because he just hasn't shown me anything yet.
I'm selling. And what I see looks pretty good.
Yeah.
They don't see it. The same people. Now, I know this Adam Peters. The reason we had expectations for him was because Adam Peters said he's one part George Kittle, one part Kyle Juszczyk. So I was waiting for that. He's the backup blocking tight end at this point. They don't think he can do it. Otherwise, they would have had him do it. So if they don't believe it, why should I? I'm frustrated because every time that guy's got the ball in his hands, he looks explosive. He looks big, strong, fast, tough, all the things, not all the things, but some of the things you want in a tight end.
Right.
He doesn't have Zach Ertz's footwork, but who does? Ertz is a circus bear at this age, right? Where he's tap dancing all over the place. He couldn't run away from me.
Yeah.
But by God, he'll get open using footwork and route running and leverage and all sorts of smart stuff.
Would you call him a circus bear?
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, you know, dancing circus bear. Like, you know, he's balancing the ball. He's on the unicycle.
I dig it.
He can do that sort of thing. Short area quickness. But, you know, he can't run away from everybody. He's a catch and fall guy at this point. Sennett doesn't have that. He's a different tight end, different player. There's a skill set, though, for somebody that they'd go, yeah, we could use that. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be in the cards for them. I've given up asking about it because there's no better opportunity than, I don't know, right now this second to feature him at least a little bit, and they won't do it, so I'm forced to sell.
Yeah.
Stuff. He a hokey, Jalen Lane, wide receiver. Buy or sell?
I'm going to reluctantly buy here. Now, as a returner, yes, I think that's bona fide. We got something.
Yeah.
As a receiver, to me, is kind of what we're talking about. I think he steps into a kind of, sort of, a almost Olamide Zaccheaus role next year. Is that worth owning?
Yeah.
It doesn't cost me very much, so that's fine. I'll buy it, but it's not something I think he's going to be featured. I think that room gets an overhaul. Well, let me rephrase. I'm begging and praying and hoping that room gets an overhaul, and he'll be, I don't want to say odd man out.
Yeah.
He'll be there because he can return kicks, and he's got some quicks, and you'll have him, you know, doing some slot stuff, short area. But to me, it's a very tepid buy.
Great minds think alike. I'm also going to, love how you put it, reluctantly buy the stock. Love him as a returner, as you mentioned. I'm baffled, though, that they did not find more ways to get him the football offensively. When you lack the speed, the team speed that Washington does on the offensive side of the ball, you find ways to get Jalen Lane the football, and they just didn't. I know there's a lot of nuance to the wide receiver position, learning inside and out. Can you block? Are you a good route runner? So on and so forth. I think he runs routes well. He doesn't catch it very well, and that's a pretty big skill that's needed for the job. I think next year, I beg, like you said, one, that they overhaul the room, but he should be your deep threat. Like, I wouldn't feel the need to go out big game hunting for a deep threat this offseason because I drafted one. Let's put our picks to the test, so to speak.
The other offensive player that remains would be the running back who joins us every Tuesday on Grant Danny Show at 5 o'clock, Bill Kroski Merritt. Buy or sell?
Oh, I'm buying it. It is the richest stock that Washington has right now, maybe on this football team, in terms of, like, young offensive players, not named Jaden Daniels. Like, he is the guy. I think we had this conversation last week, myself and Grant. He does everything well. He's the home run hitter. I still would be interested, though, in bringing in competition and somebody to pair with him in tandem. The biggest thing for him that I want to see improve, pass blocking, obviously, protect the football. He's got to get a little stronger for me as well. I feel like he's a guy that could definitely benefit from a year, a full offseason in an NFL strength and conditioning program. But Bill's got it, man. I love everything about him.
I think I'm going to sell this.
Huh.
And it's not because I don't like Bill. I like him a lot. I think we do this with running backs sometimes. Mm-hmm. We put Darius Geis in the Hall of Fame because he had a good game against Carolina when both running backs ran for over 100 yards.
Yeah.
And he was good in the preseason one time. We put the cart before the horse on these type dudes, right? And I like Bill. He's the best guy out of that backfield with the football in his hands.
Right.
Okay? They don't throw him any passes at any point in time. They don't seem interested in doing that. He's improved in pass pro, but it took Chris Rodriguez basically puking before the game for them to go, fine, we'll give you double-digit carries.
Yeah.
This isn't my evaluation of Bill. It's theirs. I keep coming back to this. I understand you don't want to give him 20 carries a game. He didn't play football but for one game last year because of an eligibility thing, which is stupid. Good job, NCAA. But it just seems like they didn't want to do this on a regular basis. Right? And I don't know why. He was good. He's good with the ball in his hands. They don't trust him necessarily. Maybe some of the advanced passing game stuff. You got Ed McNichols do that. Okay, fine. Well, where was he on first and second down? If Chris Rodriguez was available, he's only getting four touches, not getting in a rhythm. That's my frustration. So I'm selling, not because I don't believe in the player. I do. Every time he's gotten something on his plate, he's eating it. Let's put more on the plate. That's where I'm at.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com.
Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moving to the interior, let's go with Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois.
By yourself. I'm selling this one. Again, he played really well, it seemed to me, the other day. Had his counting stats finally happen against Dallas. But it's the same deal where you're getting out-snapped by Sheldon Day. You're getting out-snapped by Eddie Goldman. You're getting out-snapped by Preston Smith. I know it's not the same position, but it's indicative. They didn't believe in him to play him more regularly. I think maybe at some point, if he – you mentioned this with Josh Connerly, Linnell, if he gets a little bit more stout on his bottom half, Tookison on down to maybe be more solid in the run game, but that's not who he is. He is a disruptive, penetrating, bothering – in the mold of a John Randall defensive tackle than he is necessarily a smart car type guy that's, you know, not moving anywhere at any point in time. I think there's value in that. That's not the paradigm they went with this offseason, so we became kind of an afterthought after they used a second-round pick on him, basically saying we were lucky to get him. It was only because of a foot injury. Otherwise, he's a first-rounder. I never really believed in the player, to be honest with you. I know it sounds really harsh. I just kind of never saw it. I've never really understood the infatuation and the hype. I look like a jackass the other day when he's knifing.
Well, I don't think he did.
Knocking people down. And look, he looked awesome. Yeah. And you're going, okay, well, could we do that, I don't know, two other times over the course of a season? But I'm selling here because I think he's at his high point now. I don't think we see what we just saw again.
I'm going to sell as well. Bear with me here on the analogy. You have kids. When your child took their first steps, you didn't assume that all of a sudden, like, you were breeding the next great, like, shortstop in Major League Baseball. It was just a part of the process. You're a human. You learn how to walk. That's how I feel about Jazon Newton and what he did on Netflix versus the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, he got a couple of sacks. I'm pulling up the number here. The average time to sack Danny Rue was, I think it was like 5.2 seconds. So he was the beneficiary of a bunch of coverage sacks. I do not buy any stock into what he did. He would be somebody that would be on the fringe of being cut next year. If I'm being honest, like, I don't know his value. And everyone wants to say he's this great situational pass rusher. Well, why aren't they using him more in situational pass rush spots? I don't get the hype with Jazon Newton. And it's crazy because Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, I think the double foot surgery zapped all the juice away from him. And, like, he's no longer going to be able to be a good football player. So it's tough. I feel for him, but selling.
A pair of Washington cornerbacks. We will start with the youngest one, which will be Trey Amos. Buy or sell?
I'm buying low. Here's the thing about Trey Amos, right? Looked good this year at times against mediocre wide receivers. We didn't see him a bunch because he ended up getting hurt. I still feel like I just don't know what I have there, right? Like, if you were asking me my comfort level, Danny, and going into next year, with Trey Amos and Mikey Samristil as your outside corner duo, I would say, we can't do better. Can't do better than that. Like, that's not – I don't know, man. They're between a rock and a hard place when it comes to that spot. Him getting hurt was one of the bigger developments of the year that we didn't really talk about enough. It stinks that you really don't know what you have in him. You're obviously going to rely on your, you know, what you saw in camp and so on and so forth. But I'm going to buy it, but I still don't know if I have a legitimate number one corner.
I'm buying. I think he's a dude.
Yeah.
And part of this is my own desperation to be right about something. And I fully acknowledge that. This is confirmation. But I see enough of those moments, enough of those flashes where, no, he's not the tiny, super swivelly, explosive corner that's going to stay with people down the field tremendously well. What he is a big physical maul you, hands on you, kind of modern sort of, I don't want to say Richard Sherman that to evoke that name,
easy,
but Legion of Boom style corner that's you'll notice who the coach happens to be, right?
He's the prototype.
To me, I look for that. I look for the bigger bodied, longer arm. Again, he's not winning as many races as some of the other dudes, but I feel like in this system, in this scheme, he could be that guy. If they go get Al Harris, the guy that he's the interception whisperer, wherever he shows up to lead the league in picks, he could be a dude that we're now talking about as having that leap, that kind of renaissance.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in Trey Amos. I think he's just scratching the surface here. I think he could be really, really good. So normally when you go, I can't believe he's available in the second round, they got a steal, I roll my eyes with this organization.
Yeah.
This time I actually buy that. Huh. And I know maybe that's fool's gold and I'm talking myself into something, but I'm a believer in Trey Amos.
And the last player would be the guy opposite of Trey Amos, Mikey Sainristil, by herself.
So I thought I was going to be alone on this, and I can think I can predict where you're going to go.
Yeah.
I'm selling. This is the only guy that doesn't fit their athletic profile.
Yeah.
Okay? If you go back and look at their the compilation of raw athletic scores, the RAS scores, Washington has a type. And that, by the way, I don't mind that. I'm good with that. They want captains and guys that are off the charts in these RAS scores. Sainristil was not. He's the guy that's going to be the mayor of any city that he's in. Great dude, tough as nails, good competitor. I think this is it, and I'm okay with that. But if we're talking about buying stock,
right?
I don't see a lot of upside here. We're kind of a slot, not really. Kind of an outside, fine. But on a good defense, you could have the versatility of, let's say for the sake of argument, this guy that he's covering is going in motion. Now they're in a stack kind of in the slot. You're not panicking because he's in there. He's not going to do the job great in there, but you don't have to totally adjust everything and have a complicated call to compensate for it. I think he's solid. I think he's fine. I think I like him more than you do, and I'll tag you in here in a second. But I'm not buying that there's a ton of upside, and that's what kind of this buyer-sell situation is. I'm selling. I like Mikey Sainristil, but I think this is kind of it.
You ready? I'm going to make my decision right here on the spot because I've been thinking about it ever since. I saw the rundown earlier. I've been looking at it since last night. This is the one that I'm torn on, Danny. His ball skills, you can't coach that. Like, that is an innate ability that he has to play the ball in the air really well. He does it better than any DB that Washington has right now. But like you said, he's kind of a slot, but he's not. He's kind of an outside guy, but he's not. I think he lacks the physical tools from both a speed standpoint and a height standpoint, like length and all that, to be a starting NFL corner. Like, I genuinely have my questions about that. But I will say this, every corner, and you know this, Danny, as well as anybody, every corner looks better when they have to cover for a shorter period of time. If we could ever get a pass rush, he's the guy that could potentially have the 6-7 interception year. I just don't know if this has been like 5 times on the show.
People don't realize how
I'm
much
walking
do it.
Right into
people. I'm telling you, having kids has made me. I'm a head on a swivel all the time. If you can't see it, I'm on the YouTube stream.
Yeah,
Linnell, speaking normally as people do, he's like, maybe he'll have 6-7 intercept. And as soon as I hear that 6-7, I got to do the bit with my hands because I have children.
But to wrap this up here, I just don't know if he has the physical tools to be a starting corner in this league. I think if he's your first corner off the bench, you're in really good shape. Like, tremendous shape. That's how I feel about him.
About what you're selling there.
Yeah.
Darius, appreciate you, dude. That was a good job of buy or sell.
That was awesome.
Stonks here with the young Washington 53. A major phenomenon just wrapped up. One of the cultural touchstones, one of the seminal shows that I really believe shot a streaming platform to the front of the line, to the top of the table, to be essential for all of our entertainment hubs. Kind of the first-stop shop, the first place we go now when talking about new programs, movies, and otherwise. I really think this show, not I would say put these guys on the map. They were already on the map, very much so. But a show with no promotion and no buzz turned into a global phenomenon. I've got some of the numbers for you. We'll tell you about what it is. It just wrapped up. I'll give you some of my thoughts on that, and we'll ask you guys, what else is kind of close to this in terms of cultural phenomenon from one of the great shows of all time? It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan, live from Caddies on Cordell. Linnell filling in for GP. One of the great shows ever wrapped up here within the last couple of days. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.